Detachment, the latest film from Tony Kaye, is set largely in a failing inner-city public school where things have become so dire that the teachers and the students have become exhausted. And that's the situation when Henry Barth, played by Adrian Brody, arrives as a substitute teacher with demons of his own. The film features an incredible ensemble cast that includes Marcia Gay Harden, Christina Hendricks, James Caan, Lucy Liu, Blythe Danner, and Bryan Cranston, and it's been featured in several festivals, including the 2011 Tribeca Film Festival. It opens this Friday at the Empire 42nd Street and Village East Theaters, and I'm very pleased that it has brought Adrian Brody and Tony Kaye to our show today. Hello.
Hello, thank you. Thanks for having us.
Hello.
Tony, Detachment begins with an Albert Camus quote, "And never have I felt so deeply at one and the same time so detached from myself and so present in the world." Was that what got this whole thing started, or is it, or do you see it as a way of cluing the audience in about Henry's ambivalent character?
Yeah, it's. I mean, Henry Barth is the entire movie. The movie is just broken into shards of what he is, and the school is not. I don't see the school as an educational institution. I see it more as a kind of a microcosm of the school of life. You know, it's a little humble story about a number of people's lives, and all intertwined with Henry, and we come here today. The movie is a massive hit in France, four times the size of what they thought it would be. So Adrian and I are very excited to see what happens here. Yeah.
And you think it's a hit in France because it resembles schools in France, the situation in France? Mm-hmm.
Hoping it's a hit in France because they've got great taste in France. So.
But does this remind you of the schools you went to when you were growing up in Britain? I'm assuming that you didn't go to one of the fancy public schools that they call private schools in England.
Well, why is that?
Why is that? Just a matter of accent, Tony.
Of the way
I'm sorry.
I speak. For me personally, it's not. I didn't make a movie about the educational system. Mm. We made a film about humanity.
Adrian, you're not only the star of this film, also executive producer. Was one of the reasons you got involved because you have had a relationship to schools? Wasn't your father a public school teacher?
Yes, my father taught for many years in New York in public school, and I am also a product of the public school system in this great city. And I think it definitely gives me a very clear point of reference and an understanding about some of the complexity in that world. I have to agree with Tony that my motivation as well was not necessarily to come on board to do a film on that's critical of the education system. I think I'm attracted to, and I can speak for Tony as well, that we're attracted to socially relevant material.
Well, Tony's made documentaries on social issues.
Yes, and I strive to find meaningful work, and so you know, this is that, and this. Does speak on very serious issues.
Well, you have a great character to play here. He's a detached person, which might be a benefit if you're working as a substitute teacher. But it allows you also to imply an awful lot because we try to understand why he has become the person he's become and why he has all these demons.
That's true. And I think through the process, he overcomes some of those demons or challenges them, and you know, he meets young people with parallel problematic lives and reluctantly comes out of that sense of isolation. And I think that too is what is so important about this film, is that, that there are so many people who feel isolated and disconnected from the world, and if you kind of persevere past that, you can become more a part of society.
And the title tells us that right at the start, Detachment. Tony, the writer, Carl Lund, is a former public school teacher, and the first people we see in the film are presumably real teachers who confess that it's a career they never really wanted for themselves on them, for the most part. How did they come to be in the film? Were they people that he had worked with?
No, we shot the movie in the Mineola Midland High School, and
with a pretty nice campus.
Both Adrian and I work in a very organic way. We make it up as we kind of go along, I just felt that it would be good for Adrian's character and for the other characters, the teachers that play so well in the movie, if there was a few real teachers. So I just grabbed a handful of teachers that wanted to talk about their life that were there.
Were you surprised by what they said?
I like to work on material that I can learn, that I can personally, you know, learn from and kind of grow. Although, as I stress, you know, just like Star Wars is not a movie about those robots and things. You know, I think the same way about this picture. It's not a movie about the education system. But the one thing I learned from it is that the teacher is really the most important profession in this world. And that was an epiphany that I learned in the course of.
You get the feeling, Adrian, that the school means more to the teachers than it means to the students. It is really the center of their lives. It must have been fabulous working with this ensemble cast. James Caan is just amazing, for example.
He's phenomenal. I think this is some of his it's really one of his
Marsha
Gay
Harden as the hard-nosed principal.
Yes. And don't forget Sammy Gale, who's the young girl, and mm-hmm. although a new actor on the scene, remarkable.
She plays a young prostitute homeless girl.
Yeah, she walked in off the street. I mean, I say she walked in off the street. I mean, she'd had a theatrical career, you know, in the theater. She hadn't worked in front of a camera before.
But. Hadn't you considered your daughter for that part?
No. My daughter was always. I mean, I had to climb through a few. But my daughter plays
another troubled
Meredith,
girl.
the troubled artistic kid. Yeah.
Both of these girls somehow get involved with Adrian's character, and Adrian, your character is not happy in either case. But he has to deal with it.
Well, like I said, he's. It's not that he's not happy. He's just coping, and he's desperately trying to find his way and stave off any future convoluted relationships that cause suffering. And obviously, picking up a stray young girl who's working on the streets is a convoluted scenario, and dealing with affections of a misguided teenage girl in your classroom is also very complex.
Well, a girl who develops a crush on her teacher, and not an unusual situation.
No.
Then teachers have to cope with those things, and
that's true.
Find good ways to deal with them without damaging the student, or at the same time without getting themselves into trouble.
That's true.
There's a lot going on visually in this film. You said you make things up as you go along. You've incorporated animation, photography, artwork, flashbacks that look like home movies, just to cite a few examples. Because they add different textures to
the film?
Well,
they're all narrative. They're all narrative components. The animation is the blackboard. It's not animation per se. I mean, it is animation because it's chalk on a blackboard. But it's chalk on a blackboard, and I just felt, you know, quite late in the day when we were editing, I just wanted the blackboard to be a character somehow. And I thought that if we got some animation done on a blackboard, I could use it in the editing to pop in and out of certain scenes. The photographic animation is, or the photographs and the artwork is from the perspective of Meredith, and it comes to a finale with the final piece that she does, which is a huge conceptual art piece.
The music plays a major role here. You are a Grammy-nominated music video director, and I was thinking
winning.
I'm sorry. I don't want to take that award.
You've got an Oscar winner and a Grammy winner.
But I was thinking back to some of the other movies about schools, Blackboard Jungle, Rock Around the Clock, in Britain, To Sir With Love, for example. Yeah. They all have music attached because high school is so music related. Yeah. So this is kind of like a hip hop version of Blackboard Jungle.
You know, movies are. When a movie comes out, and when a movie is plays in the cinema, it's kind of like birth, you know, like a baby being born, and doesn't really mean anything. It means a lot, but we're very happy that it is being released. But it's the beginning, and we'll see with Henry Bath. You know, just where he'll go. I personally think he's going to be around for a hell of a long time.
This character,
yeah, for sure.
Well,
he's
seeking some kind of, or he's not seeking redemption, but it's going to happen to him anyway, simply because he's been forced to deal with the real world.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, it's such a universal predicament. I mean, you know, so many people in this world have been subjected to horrendous stuff in their youth, okay, and that is very difficult to overcome.
Well, there, and his family situation goes even back further to his troubled mother and his grandfather.
Well, abuse of his mother, which then and not having a father, and how strange and tormented that must have been for a young child.
Well, a kid who didn't have good role models, who's now working as a teacher.
But I'm saying that is very. Well, right, and that's profound in and of itself, to then be able to persevere and do something great in the world in spite of all of those obstacles, those personal obstacles, I think that unfortunately is all too common, and it's our responsibility, and what the film has the ability to do is to awaken that in us, that it's not the school system's obligation, it's the family unit. That's where the education begins. That's where miseducation begins, and that's where broken lives perpetuate future generations of broken lives. And that's the tragedy, and so we have the opportunity in making a film like this to shed light in that, and Tony's done it so brilliantly in such a poetic and stylized fashion, yet is also rooted in truth in a way that's very touching.
Isn't your next film also in high school, a comedy called High School?
Well, that's it's
you're not a substitute teacher there.
No, I'm definitely not I play the antithesis of my character. I play a marijuana dealer whose marijuana has been pilfered, and he comes to seek revenge.
And Tony, you have another film in the works?
I do, yeah.
Do you call you subtitle all of your films a Tony K talkie?
No, I was just looking for that. I liked the way Spike Lee called his movies a Spike Lee joint, and I was looking, and talkie is something I stumbled upon, and then all of a sudden, like, the artist appeared, and I oh God, it's going to look like I took it from that, but but I didn't. I just the talkie is kind of for me. It's meaningful because I, you know, I haven't been able to talk for that long myself. I had a terrible speech impediment as a kid. I couldn't even talk, say anything till I was about.
Does that make it hard to be a director?
26. Well, I don't direct really. I mumble the odd thing. I just let them do, you know, I just like to watch actors work, you know.
Well, so when you put together a cast like this, Oscar winner Adrian Brody, also Marsha Gay Harden, Christina Hendricks, James Caan, Lucy Liu, Blythe Danner, Bryan Cranston, and some very talented young people. Yeah. You don't, I suspect, well, they, you don't have they to came, give them too they many came, line reads.
They came for Carl's writing in spite of the fact that I was the director.
So. Thank you so much, both of you. Adrian Brody is the executive producer as well. Of course, Oscar winner for a previous film about a troubled character. Hmm. Tony Kaye is a Grammy Award-winning director, and the film is called Detachment. It opens this Friday at the Empire 42nd Street and the Village East Theaters.
Thank you. Thank you
for your time.